He's
Survivor Specialist Phil and Alexa are back, and Ding Dong the King is dead. Mr. War Dog.
Daddy is dead.
Yeah, that's Daddy War Dog.
Last week.
Daddy War Dog is gone. I don't know what to call anybody now. I guess it's like, is it weird if I just start calling all the women like mommy something?
Are we going to say Daddy mommy Victoria? Gone. Yeah. It's just so weird once you call someone mommy. It's also weird as daddy, but it's anyways, I don't know what we're talking about.
It was War Dog though. Ding Dong War Dog's dead. That's all that really needs to be known. So now he's over on Edge of Extinction. Reem's going to yell at him for the first 45 minutes of next week's episode. They're going to run a real quick immunity challenge, and then we're just going to see somebody get voted out. That's what I'm hoping. Because Reem is ridiculous and I love it. Trapping under that bridge, never going anywhere. I love tonight at Tribal Council when everybody's talking about, look, all the threats are getting voted off. That's why they're over there. And they just cut to Reem and it's like, oh yeah, that's right. Reem wasn't a threat. She was the first boot.
She's been wanting to get rid of Kelly for God knows how long and she let her have it.
Yeah, exactly. And I will say, as much as I love War Dog, as much as War Dog has been interacting with us, this is the right move, and he knows it was the right move.
100% the right move.
He screwed himself.
He did that so early.
He did it too early. And you know what? Like, I respect the gameplay. I respect doing it when he did. Final nine, they were still looking at Rick Devins as a bigger threat than War Dog, but Rick Devins wins immunity, so War Dog doesn't get to survive. And the thing is, if you make it to final seven, so much changes at final seven, because that's one of the last times you can just straight up vote somebody out and switch numbers. Now that the final five is now that the final four is fire and final five is not as meaningful as it used to be. So, you know, I think that it was still the right move for him to get rid of Kelly Wentworth. You get rid of somebody who's a really, like, she said that she felt suspicious. So if Kelly Wentworth is starting to feel suspicious and her and Lauren are starting to say, you know what, we need to get rid of War Dog because he's too much of a threat. War Dog was one of the only people that was going to beat Kelly. And I think Kelly was seeing that and realizing it needed to end sooner than later. So I don't have a problem with him voting her out, but kudos to everybody who made the move tonight, because War Dog was the right decision, as heartbroken as I am. But yeah, we're going to get an unexpected winner on this season for sure. I mean, I'm sure Edgick says this. I don't care. It's going to be an unexpected Edgick
is
winner.
Dead.
It's going to be an unexpected winner.
Yeah. Well, after did we talk about that with Davey, or did we talk about that when it was just the two of us last week when we were like, what is Edgick? Who's winning? Like, everyone says Lauren, which even after this week makes negative sense.
Well, and we got yelled at for saying that it was Lauren by some people because some people didn't feel that Lauren's the person. But
know what we're doing.
You can claim that you know everything, but it's going to be kind of surprising. Although Victoria win confirmed, obvious, easy, no brainer. Victoria already won this season. So I'm just saying, like, yeah, what I saw from this episode tonight is all of the men were super confident and the men were the only ones who were going to go home tonight. And now you have four women and three men, and the men are claiming, oh, well, the females are goats. And Gavin's not really claiming it, but Devins and Ron were claiming that the females were the goats. The females aren't the goats at all. I think all of them are playing really good games. I don't know how she stayed invisible for as long as she did, because Aurora is she's fantastic. I love it. I am loving Aurora.
And it was Aurora who said this. She was like, no one's a goat and everyone's a threat. And I'm with you. Like, the Aurora and Ron fight that came out of literally nowhere.
Amazing.
It was gold. And I know that that's happened so many times on that original Kama Beach, and I get that there was no need for us to see it, but two people, Ron, who is a self-proclaimed drama queen, and Aurora, who again self-proclaimed, said she's very confrontational. Like, give me that all day. That was awesome. And then they ended up voting together, and they agreed to vote together 30 seconds before they started hating each other over their coffee soaked coconut.
Yes, I love that. What I thought was really funny about that scene, though, is that it was, okay, here's the advantage. I'm giving it back to you. I want her to trust me more than she trusts anybody. I want her to be my number one ally. And literally the next cut was them screaming at each other. And I don't think that was edited. I think that was seriously within the next like 5 minutes. It went from we're best buds to I hate you. I hate everything about you. I want you to get voted out. And
also,
Victoria's
go with me.
And Victoria's, I'm just gonna go down to the beach, and she just starts walking. Like, I love it.
So about the tide that I gotta go check.
Yeah. I'm feeling a female dominated. Next week, man's going home, and then it's gonna start to get tricky. And I do think I said it at the beginning of the season, said it before anything went down. Mr. War Dog is going to win the Edge of Extinction challenge and get back.
That
in
was your
six.
Thing. Yeah, that was your thing.
That was my thing before the season. The man has been terrible at challenges. Terrible. Tonight, I mean, I'm glad that they had the thing in the middle. Otherwise, War Dog would still be at the bottom of the Pacific Ocean.
Oh,
but,
my God. Yeah.
Yeah, that, no
that
doubt.
Was pretty camera shots, though. Love that they did that. Both challenges. Huge fan of both challenges.
Loved both challenges. We'll definitely talk about the challenges tonight. But I am just a believer. We saw how bad War Dog sucked this entire time. And I'm feeling like, man, I think War Dog is actually going to get back in. Like, I think War Dog's going to still pull it out despite sucking so bad and everybody else looking like they had a better story. And, you know, they've all been so much better than him in challenges. This is a confident guy. He's very, very confident.
Well, I think it's been within the past week that a lot of people have been saying no person could be that unathletic. And just like it's just been egregiously bad, where I think that within the past week there's been these stirs that, oh, you know, maybe he's been throwing this, maybe he's been over exaggerating his lack of any athletic ability. Hi, War Dog, I know you're listening, or will listen later. He could, I'll have to go back and watch the season, but He was this horrible in the tribal phase, or was he this horrible once he realized that Edge of Extinction came around? Because he could turn it on at the Edge of Extinction.
And here's my
thinking. It exists, quote unquote.
And here's my thinking. Once you find out that Edge of Extinction exists and you know that you're going to get a second chance, you make the move on Kelly Wentworth 100 times out of 100. Because you know that even if you get voted off next, you have a chance to get back in the game. And he damn well knew that he had a very good chance after voting out Kelly of being the number one target, the number one threat, and going home. But he's looking at Extinction Island as a second chance. And it is. And yeah, he's been terrible. The man can't throw anything. So as long as there's no throwing involved.
Swimming a little sideways.
Yeah. He was swimming sideways. He fell off the platform instead of diving in. Great. But they're showing so much of this. Now, either he's going to be the first person out of the challenge again, and it's just kind of like the laughingstock of the season. And I would love it if he's the first one out of the challenge and they somehow make him like 16th place.
Oh my God.
That would be brutal. But I don't think that they're going to do that. We talked about that in the whole preseason a lot because of the bootless game, but I don't think that they're actually going to rank them based on how they finish like in Redemption Island. Though if they do, that would be absolutely ridiculous.
It'd be how they finished in the game, not in the challenge.
Yeah. So everybody's going to get their bootless right. You know,
but can you imagine if he gets 16th? That'd be amazing.
With how amazing, like the greatest 16th place finisher of all time, hands down. He knew that that was there. And it makes it easier to make big moves when you know that going home doesn't mean you're done. And nobody's going to be looking at War Dog as a threat. And I really think that he's going to be at least around for a little bit in that challenge. But who knows? We have to see what the challenge is anyway. He could also just be terrible at it.
Yeah. And I'm sure we haven't heard much from Aubrey except for the fact that she gives really good bear hugs. Aubrey's probably just like hanging in that corner doing that thing all day.
Absolutely.
Kelly got great Edge of Extinction content. She pretty much got Eric's, but with like three times the length. And I really liked what went down with her and Reem, because Reem was like her best self tonight, her most extreme self. Kelly's one she has wanted out the whole time. She's wanted out for the 2.5 days that she played. But at the end, Reem goes over to Kelly and she's like, hey, you're burning. Like there's something, and Reem knows this better than anyone, that there is something cathartic about you need to get it all out, but we're still stuck here together. And she wanted Kelly out, and I'm sure he hates her, but maybe to a lesser extent than what we imagine.
Well, and I think the thing is, like, I'm pretty sure 90% of the survivors, once they're voted out, they probably get mad and then they go back to being normal. I mean, Brendan and Bradley are a great example. They always talk about, you know, how much they fought after the game was over, and it was constantly talking to each other. I mean, if you ask Brendan or Bradley, they'll give you the exact opposite story still to this day. Yet both of them really like each other. They hang out. Like, that's like, you know, they have a good relationship now outside of the game. It's just Bradley voted out Brendan and ruined Brendan's survivor dream, just like Wentworth did to Reem. Although, to be completely fair, if Kelly Wentworth's not in the game, Reem is still the first boot of Survivor Edge of Extinction. Probably even more of a guarantee, because they definitely lose that challenge, that first challenge. It wouldn't even be close, because even though Kelly has been great at challenges, she was definitely one of the stronger women on that tribe. So yeah, Reem was always going to be the first boot of this season, but I understand where her frustration comes from.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. And that was kind of really the only Edge of Extinction content we got. It was long, because Kelly had a soliloquy. She had a good thing going. Joe gets the episode title, speaking of people on Edge of Extinction.
I thought the episode title was the cheesery.
So, okay. I've got whole thing. Zach Auden, if you're listening, this is your time to tune in. Our friend Zach, Phil. So Rick Devens is a huge, I don't know to what extent, he is a fan of Tony Kornheiser. And people don't know Tony Kornheiser. He's been around forever. Like, big ESPN guy, has his own podcast about sports. And I listened to this podcast because of our friend Zach. And Tony, like, somehow found out that this fan of his is on Survivor. And this episode was originally named La Cheeserie. And today I was like, oh, wait a minute. What, like, that? And La Cheeserie is something that Tony Kornheiser fans like say to each other as a greeting or goodbye. So when I saw that, I was like, oh, Rick goes home, because then they changed it to fasten your seatbelt. And I was like, oh my God, this is a conspiracy for the three humans in America who watch both, listen to both Tony Kornheiser's podcast and this. But this makes a lot more sense, because Rick said that in excitement when he won. But Rick did originally get the episode title, and I know that benefits both you and intern. So if you are comfortable with it, I'm cool with giving both Joe and Rick episode title. And I think Joe's already said one, so it doesn't really matter.
I think Rick has said one too, hasn't he?
No, he hasn't. Isn't he that hasn't. Crazy?
Wow. You know, so it's not official. It's not official.
But it was on, and then it wasn't. This is your fantasy or your prop bed points that I'm trying to give.
Oh,
to
it
you.
Would be me. Oh yeah.
Yeah. I already have the episode title. I'm trying to help you.
No, then I think Rick Devens definitely had it.
It makes 100%. Sense. You know. Yeah. It was on the internet once. So there you have it, people.
But before we keep going through that, I just want to announce that even though I ran out of Eliminator people, I beat Alexa in the Eliminator game because she picked War Dog. War Dog convinced her.
What the hell are you doing, War Dog? I know you're going to listen to this at some point. You shame me for putting you at number six, and then I feel so bad for you that I give you my Eliminator as I'm doing somewhat well. I think I was leading the Eliminator.
You were leading the Eliminator.
And now I lose, and I am so mad at you, and I want to block you, and I hope you block me first, and I'm so goddamn mad at you, War Dog. I never drink wine when we're podcasting, but I am tonight. So cheers to you getting voted out. And me,
yeah, and now it's down to Vaughn and Team Survivor. I don't know who Vaughn has left, but I think Team Survivor only has Julie. So
not great.
So this week coming up, the Survivor will have to take Julie. We probably won't even bring it up on the podcast. So anybody who's listening now, you know more than what the Survivor is going to know about who they're picking for the Eliminator game. Because why describe the rules and then tell them, by the way, you have Julie? We'll just kind of gloss over it and confuse them even more. But Alexa, I just wanted to say you did a great job this season. You were in first place easily. You pretty much were War Dog, and you had your Wentworth moment tonight. And it bit you in the ass and sucks.
Because hate to see it.
Even though I ran out of people, at least I never lost. So I beat Alexa.
You somehow still beat me.
I somehow beat Alexa. Vaughn, though, beat me. But at the end of the day, the fantasy game is what Vaughn is good at. I am destroying him, wiping the floor with him in that, despite the fact that my first pick went home tonight. I might not have anybody in the final five and still win the fantasy game. That's how good my fantasy team was at the beginning.
Yeah, this has been an emotional roller coaster.
Yeah, especially since Team Carl is going to get the Victoria W. I mean, that is a lock.
Team Carl's about to win.
It is going to be a surprise victor, but Victoria is an obvious win.
Great Victor Victoria thing there.
Thank you. Wow. That's like
that was really fun.
Yeah. Victor Victoria is a movie. Hashtag Victor Victoria. Hashtag Victor. Yeah.
Also, no hashtag Rice Nazi. We gotta end this like now.
Yeah, so I know.
Keep sending your prop bet ideas, people. I guess you can't do Rice Nazi. It's probably a little
based on what might be happening in season 39 and 40 for anybody who's alive in the community. I'm sure we'll be able to come up with plenty of things that we can do that'll be plenty fun for the prop bets.
Chugs no wine frustratedly.
Yeah, exactly. Although for 40, there is no frustrated wine.
Oh, yeah, 40, it is happy.
And as far as I'm concerned, from just reading things, my heart is going to be very, very happy when season 40 airs because – you know, the queen's back, but we're not talking about that. Queen stays queen, and I'm not talking about the queen. I'm talking about the real queen. So anyway, how about episode 10 of Survivor Edge?
Anyways, okay. So I got my two rants out that I really wanted. What else we do? Why don't we talk about these challenges?
Yeah, let's talk about the challenges.
So yeah, because we always shit on the challenges, and these were good.
And I love the reward. We have to talk about the reward because what is heaven, Alexa?
Heaven is rubbing mud all over War Dog's. Or no, was War Dog rubbing his back?
Doesn't. Either way, it's
Heaven. Someone's rubbing something on someone's back.
Yeah, there's mud involved and two shirtless men rubbing
so
each other.
So I had texted my mom and I was like, I forget how it came up. I was texting my mom and I was like, this episode is insane. I can't believe we're watching War Dog and Rick give each other naked massages. And she goes, what? I haven't watched yet. Ooh. So out of context, that's not going to be great.
As your mom sprints to the DVR.
She's like, oh, wow. Yeah. War Dog and Rick. Yeah. So that was amazing. And a good reward. Like, how about that for a fun interactive? You get the shower, you get the mud bath. It's about time. And then we're getting a family visit next week, even though.
Yeah.
We thought we weren't. So,
and guess what? Ron made it to the family visit and he's going to get voted out next week. Don't tell anyone. He's done. But I wanted to say too, this episode was very, there was a lot going on in this episode, but it didn't feel rushed. We had a really long time on Edge of Extinction. The challenge was a really good challenge. The reward itself was a very good reward that we got a lot of time spent at that reward. The immunity was not rushed. The pacing after the immunity challenge was not rushed.
Hmm.
It was a really well-paced episode and I feel like a lot happened and we spent a lot of time at a lot of areas. Yeah, I know there's only 8 people left in the game, but this still felt, I don't know, I really like this. I like the pacing of the episode. I actually thought it was kind of obvious that War Dog was going home, because if War Dog doesn't go home, I mean, everybody on that island literally was drinking Kool-Aid, and I don't know how he convinced them all not to vote him out.
Yeah, but they're smarter than everyone's letting on.
Yeah, every one of these people, and that's what I think is crazy. I think War Dog actually was the one who tweeted it out, where he said that nobody in this game has voted the same person. It was something insane where it was like nobody has voted for the same person, or somebody find the tweet, but it was like the first time, he claims it's the first time in Survivor history that this has happened. Probably because it's one of those like ESPN stats where it's, this is the first time somebody's homered on a Tuesday while it's 74 degrees and sunny in Baltimore, but they're playing in Washington.
What was the stat?
I don't know what the stat was. I have to find what the tweet was, but it was a really great tweet. And it was interesting because it's showing how much he said, this isn't voting blocks, this is anarchy. And I kind of agree with him because it is kind of anarchy. Everybody knows what they're doing. It's just that not everybody's letting it on. And Victoria said it perfectly tonight. Every threat is over there. So why would you want to admit everything you've done? Because then you're going to go home. But also you have to start admitting what you're doing. Otherwise, the jury's not going to respect it. That is how Victoria is going to start off her final tribal council speech before she takes home her $1 million check.
Victoria had that. And then it was Lauren too. And this is something that like everyone's always realized, but this is one of the first 2 or 3 times I've actually heard it mentioned on the show. Is Lauren is saying, yeah, if someone says they want to take you to the final three, that's kind of a bad thing because it means that you're missing something and you need to figure out what you're missing. And they're saying this with 8 people left. That's what happens when the show's been on for 20 years. You know why people say everything that they say. So how do you stay ahead of that curve? It's fascinating.
Yeah. And that's the benefit of having super fans playing too, is that these people, like, you know, early on, I mean, you don't have to have a 20 super fans on every season, but it helps later in the game because people know what to look for and they want to win. Like, even though you might sit here and say, Victoria hasn't made any huge moves since the merge. Lauren hasn't made any huge moves until really tonight, but I don't consider this a huge move because this was an obvious move. Mm-hmm. But you can sit here and say all these people
have knew really, it was coming too.
Yeah. And like Gavin hasn't really made any huge, but every one of them is trying to figure out how they're going to win the game. And for somebody like Victoria, Julie, Lauren, Gavin, the best move might be to make no move except vote out all of the big threats and sit in the final three with Victoria, Lauren, Gavin, and Julie. Because despite the fact that they might have made the least moves in this game, or at least that's how it's perceived, if you all sit next to each other, somebody's got to win. Remember, Bob Crowley beat Susie and Sugar. It happened.
It can happen. Yeah,
it happened. So
it can happen. I'm sorry. That was a really good rant. And there is there must be a dead body outside my apartment because this ambulance is not stopping.
That was,
did I lose you? There you
my
are.
Internet cut out. So all I heard was that you had a dead body outside your apartment.
Probably. I was saying what you just said was really great, but it was unfortunately slightly marred by the screaming police officers outside.
Okay, good.
But anyways, that's what's so refreshing about where we are now, because as much as I've enjoyed having War Dog, he was obvious. And now there is no one obvious. The only person who I know isn't going to win is Gavin. I think Aurora
Gavin had a huge edit tonight. huge edit.
He did. But
I would have expected him to go home with how big his edit was.
Yeah, because it did kind of come out of nowhere. But like,
I think he had like 6 confessionals tonight and only had like 13 all season or something like that.
And
that's
he
crazy.
Did get, God, we need, this is why Kelly Wentworth needs to get voted out more, because when she was the final member of the jury, you couldn't get much out of her. She was all up in those jury reactions. I loved that. And Gavin was getting a lot of love from her and David. Pretty much anyone who wasn't War Dog was getting a lot of love from her and David. They were super pumped about Rick getting that, getting immunity. Super nervous for Rick. I mean, that's going to be tough. He's got 2 in a row.
Rick's an obvious threat now too. I mean, you know what it is? As much as we were sitting here, this is going down exactly how David versus Goliath went down. As soon as the Davids turned on themselves, all the Davids go home. And what just happened is the Manus started turning on themselves by voting out David, vote out Wentworth, then War Dog goes down. Next, Rick Devens is going to go down. Lauren's going to be the last woman standing, but Lauren has an idol, so she can somehow survive it. But that's the vibe I'm getting right now, is like, how can Rick stop the bleeding? And I don't think he can, because they all wanted him out tonight. He was expired tonight. But if he keeps winning immunity, because if you look at who's left in the game, only Aurora is really good at challenges. Gavin's good, but Gavin's not great. Aurora's like a physical beast, as we saw in that reward challenge.
Yeah. She's
unbelievable. But I don't know how Rick stops the bleeding, especially when he's as likable as he is. He's made as many moves as he has. He won his way back into the game, which is going to curry a lot of favor with all the people on Edge of Extinction who would have wanted themselves to get the votes had they been back.
He's like, he's one of them. He like represents that. I forgot what I was going to say, but yeah, you bring up a really good point about him being so likable. Even when he had his one bad episode, people still liked him. Like, he can't not be likable, which is a really odd position to be in, because in every other facet of life, that's a really, really good thing. But he is in such a tough position now, because he and War Dog had a really good arc together where they were always so separate. War Dog is the one who he was like, screw you, I'm never playing with you again. And they finally get back together. They finally have their romantic mud massage. Mm. And then he goes. And Rick stuck with him. And I think that's going to go, if Rick gets that final 3, that is going to go, that's going to take him very, very far.
Yeah.
Because I think War Dog is someone who is going, assuming he remains on the jury, he's going to respect good gameplay, and he's going to see that in Rick.
Well, and the thing is, right now, Rick gets to a final 3 against anybody in the game, he gets every single vote from every single juror right now. Because Reem, who might not have liked Rick right away, lived with Rick for more days than anybody else out there has. Mm-hmm. Chris lived out there for more days. David obviously votes for Rick. I think
Kelly could.
I think Kelly votes for Rick. I mean, she was excited he had won the immunity. And then I think that any of the pre-mergers vote Rick, because they all had to lose to Rick to not get back in the game. So this really adds an interesting dynamic because of when Rick got back in and how well he's done since getting back in. Like, he got back in at final 13. It's not easy to navigate Survivor from 13 to 1. Yeah, it's his second chance, but still, he's got to do it. And nobody's been able to vote him out yet. And now we're down to final 7. That's a long time. I do think his time's about to run out. But you know, you can't get rid of Aurora yet, because Aurora just keeps on competing in the challenges, and she's really the only one who can beat him.
And things have been working for Aurora, and she's someone who I'm probably the most excited to read her exit press on, because people are still working with her, even though everyone also wants to get rid of her. And the reasons they want to get rid of her don't seem to be very challenge oriented. They seem to be very personality oriented. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, this group keeps working together. And it was War Dog who approached Julie and said, hey, we got to get rid of Aurora. And she was like, I've been freaking saying that for a month.
Why didn't you do it last week?
Why didn't you do it last week? And then everyone still goes for War Dog. So that dynamic is so interesting to me. And she's got that extra vote. And now that the numbers are a lot smaller, that's going to work out really well for her. And I know extra votes don't work out very well, but we're at the point where there are no real alliances. And that's, I think that could be gigantic for her.
Yeah, I agree. I am listening to you. My roommate's making googly eyes at your roommate, trying to figure out how big how loud it's going to be. How loud is it going to be?
He's probably good, because you're plugged into the computer. It won't be like the Brussels sprouts incident.
I sure hope we'll find out. Well, if everybody want to know
your
you heard it turn on, right? Well, okay. This is what happens. We don't have a studio. when Arhap buys us a studio, then we'll figure it out.
Great reference.
Hey, you buy me a damn studio. But this is the fun, right? You get to know, I mean, Alexa's roommates walked behind 40 times and now my roommates swap.
We're doing in New York, it's the big, winter clothes swap. So my roommate's swapping out her, winter clothes for her summer clothes. It's really exciting stuff over here in New York City.
Nice. Well, yeah. He's gone.
Oh, she left. That's how bored he got by our conversation.
He's about to starve. but back to this. So at final seven right now, who do you think is going to be in the final three? I want to ask you that. And then I want to see if you caught the most important line of tonight's episode, which I don't think you did because you haven't brought it up yet.
Definitely not. So let me cross out War Dog because
he could still get there.
Oh, okay. Can we turn off Edge of Extinction for a minute?
All right. Yeah. Out of who's left in the game, who do you think is most likely to get to final three?
I think Victoria. I think Julie. And I think Lauren or Ron. Lauren.
Why do you think Lauren?
I don't think anyone has a problem with her. And I think people, I don't know how people view her. So this is more of like how I think people view her. But I think without Kelly, And she even said, she was like, without Kelly, like I lost my big sister, but maybe I can kind of play my game. I don't think people see her as just her. I think they will always see her attached to Kelly. I think any threat that Lauren had is people don't see that. I think if she plays this idol, people are going to see her as a threat, but I think people will want to take her.
Here's what happens. Lauren had the line of the episode. My dad is going to be so proud of me for my fire skills.
She did say that. That's
the line of the episode.
Oh, that one. So, I remember writing that down and being like, oh, how cute, her dad. I didn't even think about that. Nice job. Yeah,
so Lauren will be in the fire making challenge. Will she win it or will she lose it? I don't know.
Her dad will disown her or continue to love her.
Book it, because that line did not need to be in there. She wasn't even facing the camera when she said it. Her back was to the camera. And I think the camera was actually on Victoria.
Up over her voice, yeah.
Yeah, and so they didn't have to put that in. They put it in. Lauren will be sitting there trying to make fire at Final Four, whether she wins or loses. Who knows? But I do agree, Lauren, Victoria, and Julie are the three that I would say would be in the final three if this was how it was going to go down right now, because there's no reason to vote out Victoria, Julie, or Lauren for the next 3 weeks. You can get rid of Rick. You can get rid of Ron. Nobody likes Aurora. Gavin is really likable. All of those reasons. So why would you ever look at Vic, Julie, or Lauren? But with Edge of Extinction, somebody's coming back in that game that I think could really make a run to get to the final three. I really think they can make it happen. I don't know who it would be. I'm still banking on War Dog because it was a preseason prediction. And I love preseason predictions that come true. But yeah, I really could see it happening. So I don't know.
I am so curious about how this Edge of Extinction person, like that was a poorly worded sentence. So Rick comes back with that half idol. I can't imagine nothing happens. Because why wouldn't you immediately vote that person back out? So I have to imagine they get something, but I, in my curmudgeon-y old mind, I can't imagine what I would possibly be okay with. So this
the only person who was immediately voted out after coming back from an Redemption Islands, Extinction Islands type situation was in Redemption Island when Matt Elrod and Andrea got voted out. Those are the only two who got voted out immediately after coming back in. Tina survived a vote. Ozzy survived a vote. Laura Moret survived a couple votes. Who else? Well, Ozzy survived actually both times.
Rick survived, if we're going to be fair.
Rick has survived a while. So every time that this happens, people survive except for the first time Redemption Island happened. So I believe that whoever comes back, if they come back at final six, there's going to be two people who are on the bottom. And at that point, why not go to Rocks? If you're coming back into the game with your second chance of just winning on Extinction Island, why not go to Rocks right there? Because then you could confirm yourself a spot in the final three with the most compelling argument. That's what I could see a very blood versus water type situation. So,
But your story is so good. I would never take someone with that story to the end.
I know. Well, that's why I'm saying you have to make that final move to ensure because let's say the final five, at least the way I'm seeing this shape up, let's say the final five is either Ron or Gavin. I'm going to say Ron. I'm actually going to say that Gavin's home before final five, but let's say it's Ron, Julie, Victoria, Lauren, and Aurora. Mm-hmm. Okay. So Rick and Gavin go home the next 2 weeks. That five, Well, somebody's going to be on the bottom of that. There are two people on the bottom of that. And they, whoever comes back from extinction, they're going to want to try to work with to try to create a 3-3 tie, especially if Lauren's one of those people who's on the bottom and has an idol. So I think that there's just a lot that can be done and a lot of game to be played with that person who comes back from Extinction Island.
You're right, because we still have an extra vote and we still have an idol. And that idol wasn't even referenced tonight. Lauren had no problem not playing that. Aurora gets her extra vote back. Ron, we see, I'm very excited to see this, and I'm glad this is coming back. Ron, we see him giving Rick that extra, the menu. When did we talk about that? 6 weeks ago?
And then everybody's going through Rick's bag. Ooh.
Oh, fun. I love that. Love that Ron's doing that. Love that move. Can't wait to see everything explode. And Ron probably will go home in explosive and amazing fashion because of this. I love it. This might not be true, but I feel like this season isn't that advantage heavy. And I know I've actively complained about Edge of Extinction people interacting, but even with that, I feel like when I look at the season as a whole, I don't get that vibe, and I really love that.
Yeah, I totally agree. Like, there's a lot of advantages, but the advantages haven't made that much of an impact on the game in reality.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing. So yeah, I don't know. I'm curious to see next week if it's something obvious or if it's not. And I do think that Ron could be in a lot of trouble if he gets caught with his hand in the cookie jar doing this moment. But also, I like that this was presented on day one. We really didn't hear about it, and we heard about it in the second episode. Haven't heard about it since, and now it's coming back. Like, I like that because we haven't even heard Ron talk about having that, and yet it's still coming back into the game in some sort of fashion, and Survivor's not beating us over the head with it. So I really like this.
Yeah, I thought that was very, very well done. And that happened episode one. That happened like minute one, episode one.
Yeah.
And we're talking about that now with only three episodes left.
There's three episodes left. That's it, which is crazy.
You're coming in hot.
I know. That is crazy. There's only three episodes left. And really, I don't think we're any closer to figuring out who's going to be the winner of this season, because three episodes left and 16 people still have a chance to win. 15 people, because Reem doesn't have a chance to win. 15 people still have a chance to win. So like, somebody's going to come back into this game with a real shot to win the game. And we're not going to know it until after the first 15 minutes of the finale, you know? We can't even sit down and say, okay, who's going to be the final three for sure going into the finale, because we don't actually know.
Predictions are going to be a disaster.
Yeah, of course. I mean, they normally are, but they especially will be, because that's what are you going to do? So yeah, I mean, I'm just going to sit here and say, like, who's the safest to get to the finale right now? It's Julie, Lauren, and Victoria. They are not going to get votes. Gavin had a huge episode tonight. That's sketchy for somebody who doesn't really get much content. Devin's is target number one. Ron is playing so hard right now. Aurora, everybody just wants out because she's Aurora. I think that the three people who are not ever going to go to Extinction Island guaranteed are Julie, Victoria, and Lauren. I think all three of them never touch it. I honestly can't imagine what the three of them look like getting their torch snuffed. Like, it's one of those weird situations. You just have, it's like when you're watching a TV show and all these characters are dying off and you see the one and you're like, I can't imagine them getting killed off. And then they don't, because it's really hard to figure it out, you know? So that's my take on all of that. But we didn't really talk about the second chance. Yeah, that's going to be way too loud. You can turn the podcast into a Christian Makes Breakfast for Dinner podcast. Would be pretty sweet.
What's he trying to make that's too loud?
Oh, he's going to have oil and he's going to have all this stuff to just cook.
Is he making bacon?
No, he's not. He's making turkey, though.
Gigantic disappointment. Turkey for breakfast? What is he doing?
I don't know. I don't know what his breakfast is. But
anyways,
we didn't talk about the second challenge really at all, which I thought the second challenge was cool. I liked the thing where they had to climb over, jump to the next thing. And I guess Ron probably fell once because he was really far behind. But I liked that challenge. And I liked how Rick won the physical portion of it, which everybody was saying that Rick was the least physical, but he's good at challenges. Well, he won the physical portion and then won the puzzle as well.
He also won the Extinction Island challenge, which was physical.
I know. And like, I know that Aurora was really, really good tonight in that first challenge, and the swimming part, she absolutely dominated and she went under in like one thing. But did you watch Rick throwing those rings? I mean, get out of here. He could be, he's on the Survivor Specialist Thanksgiving team. There's no way he's not. The way he was tossing that. I mean, that guy plays ring toss in his backyard for fun. That's what he does.
We gotta write. I'm writing that down right now for our Thanksgiving retrospective podcast or our November retrospective podcast.
Yeah, I mean he's
dead.
He's good at those types of challenges. He's really good at those random backyard games.
He probably crushes cornhole.
Yeah. So like you know, I think Rick is really good at challenges, but everybody's just gonna keep talking like he's not because he's the big dude and
that dad bod. He's it. I'll say that
he's the dad bod. So why would you worry about Rick Devens? You have all these guys with muscles and look how good they are. They're all on Extinction Island now. There's not what I mean. Gavin, I guess is muscular, but Gavin's more like skinny than anything. He just has muscles, but it might be because he's been starving for 30 days.
That might do it.
Yeah. But like everybody with muscles is over there on Extinction Island and Rick Devens just keeps winning immunities. It's
Rick
crazy.
Devens crushing it. Yeah. Even Mr. Wardog, he's got muscles. We'll see if he will use them or if he's able to use them. But
I wonder if he got his Brooklyn Nets tattoo removed.
I am surprised that they show that because I remember Ben had a big ass Band-Aid over his John Deere tattoo.
I don't
know what that line is.
I think it's because John Deere could be a sponsor and they're not sponsoring Survivor and Brooklyn Nets are never going to be a sponsor. The Brooklyn Nets are just the Brooklyn Nets. Like they're just a sports team. Like we've seen people wear sports.
By the Brooklyn Nets. He's got a Mets one too. It's very clear.
He likes to root for teams that lose. That's what he does. That's his thing.
Jets fan too.
Yeah, I know. He's probably a very, very sad sports fan. Poor Mr. Wardog. So I don't know. I guess you can get away with the Nets thing, but they scored 31 points in the first 27 minutes of their elimination game the other night. Like way to show up, boys. Gotta love that.
That's the only basketball thing that I know is that whole Damian Lillard shot last night.
Yeah,
everyone at the office was flipping out today.
Yeah,
impressive.
I just like to throw any shade at Wardog that you can possibly throw at Wardog.
Screw you, Wardog. You made me pick you as eliminator. I'm never forgiving you for that.
No, you shouldn't. He totally ruined your game.
Block him, even though he gave me so many followers on Instagram.
Yeah, that's Twitter. All you want. I got to get. I'm just here block for the personal me.
Brand. Yes, block me, Wardog.
Yeah,
I'm here for the personal brand.
Yeah, it's great. My personal brand is. Does anybody even know that I have a Twitter? I have a Twitter. Everybody,
you're getting there.
Wardog, I need you to block me. I never tweet from it though, so it's just kind of there. Me. Yeah.
What else?
Ron had the line of my game is going pretty good, which I thought was going to seal his fate. He said that.
Yeah. I felt okay about Ron tonight. I was quite nervous for Gavin. That's just weird. You said he had a big episode and I like had to think about that before you said that. But he did. And he was kind of the one who really started this whole Wardog thing because he gets back and he and Wardog are going at it. And I love that Wardog keeps using the word audacity. Wardog has the audacity to say that Gavin likes working with the numbers when Gavin voted out his best friend. And that is not looking good for him, but like he did that.
He did, but I also get where Wardog's coming from, where it's like, if we would have told you beforehand, you wouldn't have voted with us, but now you're going to sit here and tell me that that it worked, you're going to like,
got to phrase that a little differently. Yeah.
I totally agree with where Wardog was coming from here. I won't lie.
I get where they were both were coming from. They were both angry people who one got what they wanted and one didn't.
Yeah, exactly. And I honestly think Gavin was trying to approach it in a positive way, but it probably would get under your skin after you just made this big blindside. It's like, well, I would have done it too. And it's like, if we would have told you, like, and you know, I mean, we don't know Gavin as well as the other people who are out there playing with him do, but if you know in your heart of hearts that like, no, he would have voted me out. No problem. It's like, well, who wants that?
And the thing with blindsiding people is someone's got to be left out. Like Gabby was left out a ton last time. And I know like that was obviously frustrating for her and that led to an entire chain of events. But the point of blindsiding is leaving people out.
Yeah. And can we also just maybe say that people don't feel as emotionally attached to some of the characters left in the game because they haven't been crying a lot this season?
Do not feel emotionally attached to any of these people, which I kind of am fine with. Like, I think that's fine.
Yeah. I mean, I'm fine with it. I mean, I have no problem with it. I just think it's funny. Like I look at the comments as you're talking, cause why would I listen to what you're saying? But a lot of people were saying Victoria hasn't any personal content. Well, like she just hasn't cried. Maybe she is a robot. Maybe that's what's happening. But you know, then when Gabby's crying, everybody makes fun of Gabby. And then when nobody cries, everybody says, oh, we don't know these people personally. What stop complaining want? When people are crying and trying to ruin
Julie
their
cried?
Life.
Do we like Julie? I like Julie.
We all like Julie, but Julie cried in a much different way. And it was also one episode. And then tonight she showed that she's quite sane by sitting down with Ron and be Like, look, I'm not mad at you. That was the right move to get rid of Wentworth. Whatever.
Love that.
And she just completely like forgave him right away. So that's good. But, you know.
Why don't we make one of our prop bets, this person cries?
We did that once, and then it was impossible to tell. We did it during Second Chances, and it was possible to tell if they were crying or not because people would be like kind of tearing up on the screen, and then it was like, wait, are they crying?
I feel like it's it can only count if you get a 10-second shot of Kelly Wentworth's face with a singular tear.
I know.
I was like, what even is this?
Yeah. I guess Corwin Green says, Wentworth cried a single pretty girl tear on Edge of Extinction.
That was a wild shot. Like, poor and Kelly is just trying to exist in camera and like, no, must zoom.
And it makes me feel better because like, I forgot whether or not Kelly Wentworth was actually engaged or married. And she tells us tonight she's married.
You did. I this might have been off air or somewhere else, but you mentioned a fiance, but I think that they're married.
Yeah, they are. Well, she says tonight that they were.
I'm not going to lie. I stalk her on Instagram. They're totally married.
Yeah. See, Alexa stalks on Instagram. I just like live my life. Also, Corwin Green, Queen Victoria's tweet about not having emotional attachments to anyone in the game. So I'm saying she doesn't have.
She said that early on. She was like, it's hard to care about voting people out when you don't care about the people. And it was pretty hilarious.
Yeah. And this is one of the things, too. Like, as I'm looking at this, I think Lauren's win would be a weirder winner's edit than Victoria's win. I don't think Victoria's is all that weird. I just think it's a lot of pieces of a lot of different winner's edits that aren't really the things that are highlighted when somebody wins. But saying something like that, it's exactly how Brian Heidick played. It's kind of how Michelle played. Like she didn't care for half of that game. Denise Stapley did not give a crap about anybody she voted out of the game. Mm-hmm. So like these are all winners who did a good job of doing like of keeping the emotion out of the game. And we didn't see any of them cry until the very end. I think Kim Spradlin was another one. They didn't cry until they sat there at final three and then they break down. Brian never did. But in terms of the women,
he's dead inside.
Yeah. Brian literally was just like, OK, somebody get me a bow and arrow immediately. But like Lauren, on the other hand, I mean, she got to eat tonight. That's good. Like she's not going to pass out again.
Big win for Lauren. She gets to eat twice in a row.
Yeah, but I don't know, like, if she were to win, I'd be like, all right, well, what did I miss while watching this the first time? Julie, I could see it a little bit more, but also, like, I feel like Julie was a little too erratic in the middle game to actually pull this out. Although tonight, great scene that we didn't really talk about is when Rick and Wardog are showering. And that's all I want to say about that scene.
I'll talk about that all night.
Yeah, because they were showering. But
I don't care about the strategizing. I care about the showering.
Yeah, just them showering and the stupid freaking like the what do you call it? The frosted glass windows. It's so unfair. But anyway,
give the people what they want.
Yeah. What is this? It's 2019. but they're sitting there talking. Devin's is saying like none of the women are playing. None of them are doing anything. And there's Julie and Lauren in the water going, all right, I've heard every woman's name as a goat. Let's get rid of the men. And it was the two of them bringing it up.
Too easy. I know.
Yeah. It was too easy. Yeah. And also, if you go all the way back to earlier on in the season, it was Julie and Victoria having the conversation about the women aspect of how do you win Survivor as a woman, finding idols as a woman, all that fun stuff. So, hey, it's all still there. It's all
there. We have it. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
it's a season with a lot of good foreshadowing. It just takes a while to get to it.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see how people feel about it on a rewatch.
Yeah. I think it's going to be much better on a rewatch. Once you know what to pay attention to on Extinction Island and what not to pay attention to on Extinction Island, I think that this season becomes much, much better.
Yeah, I think I'm just confused. And I think I have to just take myself out of caring about the edit and just be like, this is what it is. There's this whole other factor that we're not used to. I think I will, I'm enjoying this. I think I will like it a lot more when I rewatch it.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree. I think that this has a lot of rewatchability. all right, MVP for the episode, who is it?
Oh, you go first.
Well, I'm down after having five people left going into a double boot episode last week. I'm now down to two. So Alexa, Vaughn, and I all have two people left. Carl still has Victoria.
Wow, we're even?
We're even, but literally I'm beating you by like 40 points.
I can't, that doesn't, it feels like you still have seven people on your team.
I know. I know. Well, because I like the three people I have, I feel like are still getting so much content, or Wardog is going to get content over at Extinction Island. Although David was MIA tonight, he might not be on the island anymore. He'd be blown away. But I don't know. I'm kind of feeling. I like how you're fixing the border.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, the border was killing me. I'm gonna give it to I'm going to give it to my girl Aurora, mostly because I want to just like pump up my team and there's no one who like really sticks out to me. Aurora is someone who very easily, when dealing with someone like Ron, she's someone who very easily could have not gotten her vote back. She gets it back. She ends up working with Ron and Julie, who we know there's some kind of weird relationship. She's a challenge beast, but no one's talking about her as a challenge beast. Mm. So although there wasn't anything flashy that came from her tonight, I don't think there's anything flashy that came from anybody tonight. And I'm more comfortable for her next week than I have felt in any other weeks for her. So that's my
pitch. I don't know, though. I think it's got to be Ron or Julie, because Julie did a really good job of not letting emotion get the better of her. She voted the right way. She brought it up to Lauren. She built a bridge with Lauren because the two of them hadn't really worked together.
Yeah, there was nothing there for it. Yeah, she did. That's a really good
point. And Ron gave back the advantage to Aurora, had his little feud, but then was able to brush it over with Aurora, make Wardog feel good enough, vote out Wardog, and not burn any bridges here. Who's the only one that's going to be like, oh, Ron, you're such a bad, like, I hate you. It's Rick. And Rick's not even going to think that because Rick had to
that's
see
that it was going to be Wardog.
So like, I really do think that Ron gets out of this completely unscathed and he's about to get his family visit. So this is the last chance I'll probably have to give him MVP.
Yeah,
I'm
going
to lose four straight people here. Yeah. I'm about to lose four straight people. Also, I love it. Was it Bryce? I think it was Bryce. When I had my full team intact, he said, well, Ron is clearly your weak link. Was that Bryce?
And Ron's gonna be your final guy.
He is my final guy left. And if Lauren somehow goes home, I don't know how that would happen.
I think Lauren will stay longer than Ron. But yeah. Your weakest link is your final two of your team.
Yeah, I know. So I know this has been terrible. A rough couple episodes. But like I said, even if I don't have anybody in the final five, I'm still confident I'm gonna pull out this victory because I just have so many more points. But aside from that, what else do we have? We have anything else, or is that really it?
I'll give a quick prop bet update. So Joe and Rick got the episode title, but Joe has already set an episode title, so we're going to give it to Rick, which I don't think I actually put in our thing yet. Julie has hit 5 rewards, so she gets that. I think some people have been on Extinction Island for a while. Has Dave been on it for 5 days yet?
Actually he has, he's only been there for 4, but he's about to hit his 5th. I mean, everybody who's out there right now, except for Wentworth and Wardog, has 5.
Okay. So we'll give that to David. I think that, Wardog makes the jury. Yikes. Dan, who I have in our system. Dan makes the jury. I know. How confusing is that? But that's about it for now. It was a pretty week for props. We have like now the prop bets are actually fleshed out. I'll post those on Facebook, tomorrow or this weekend. And we have a lot of content for you guys. Tonight we are going to do our Q&A podcast, but Phil is actually about to, what?
Phil's actually about to go watch the episode again.
I was going to say that.
Yeah.
So yeah. Oh, I had a thing going.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Phil's
cutting Alexa off.
Well, you shushed me. Remember what happened last time you shushed me.
I am now a sexist misogynist again, but yeah,
and who was Dom's wife? He was like, what are you two doing?
Yeah. I just, you know, I didn't want Alexa to go too far.
Where was I going to go? That wasn't okay.
I don't know. That's the question.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So Phil's going to go pretend like Wardog didn't get voted out and watch Wardog get voted out at a second watch party. Did someone say something good in the flesh? He's here. Wardog. What the fuck? Wardog, I'm pissed. So this Sunday we are going to be talking to Jessica Pete from Survivor David vs. Goliath. We're super excited to talk to her. We didn't get the chance to talk to her when we were actually doing our David vs. Goliath interviews. We're going to be talking to her this Sunday at 5 p.m. Eastern. But in the meantime, do you want me to wrap it up?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So in the meantime, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Give us 5 stars on iTunes, listen to us there, subscribe to us on YouTube. we'll be live with Jess this Sunday. I will not be able to do our Amazing Race podcast. We got a lot of questionable feedback. Some thought it was hilarious, some thought we were really stupid. We have no idea what we're talking about with the Amazing Race. So if that's what you're into, like people who don't know what they're doing, tune in because we had a lot of fun. I won't be able to do it because I'm busy this weekend, but Phil and special guest will be talking about the Amazing Race. So stay tuned and we will see you guys on Sunday.
Don't forget, I shushed you. Did you see what Wardog just said?
Still on the edge. Audacity. Yes. Yeah, the audacity. You ass.
You're a monster. Hated for it. I hope it comes up at finales.
I missed you there.
Okay. Oh, that's okay. It was totally useless.
Okay.